This podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Stop procrastinating and get your energy back. Save $10 plus get free shipping at balance7.com when you put in code Howie.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Is it true that some of the migrants are asking to go to Canada and we're getting them a bus ticket?
We are helping in the reticketing process.
Now let's enjoy the Miami of Canada.
The border is the gateway for not just people, but drugs.
Listen, all the drugs we want are right across the border.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset.
You liar!
No, no, not me. I don't lie anymore. Nope. Not since I've been a member of Pathological Liars Anonymous.
I mean, the stuff you said about Social Security was over the top. There's nobody seriously talking about sunsetting Social Security in the Republican Party.
The only person saying that we're talking about Social Security cuts is Joe Biden.
That guy calling me a liar. I spent 5 years of Pathological Liars Anonymous getting cured. I even took a lie detector test. I had the highest score that I'd ever seen in 5, 10 years.
Liar, liar, house on fire kind of stuff.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. So, Chris Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire, he's been going on all these Sunday morning chat shows, never on Fox, always on MSNBC or CNN. He was on ABC News, quote unquote, over the weekend. And so he is he's deciding to run for president. He's organized this committee, a super PAC. It's called Live Free or Die Committee. That allows him to raise unlimited funds as he gauges interest from donors. And he said that he is excited to talk about the successes that we've had in New Hampshire. And so it looks like he's getting into the race. And the thing about it is that it's pretty easy for him to get into the race. I don't think he would do very well. We're hoping to hear from Caroline Leavitt, the former candidate in the first congressional district, to talk about how he would do in New Hampshire. And I got a column going in the Herald tomorrow. He's been okay as a governor. I mean, compared to Charlie Baker, he's a spectacular success, I would say. But that's setting the bar mighty low, isn't it? Mighty low. It's a question of, you know, what has he really done? I mean, he kept the state somewhat less shut down than Massachusetts, but it was still a mess during COVID. I think his greatest success, as I look back on it, and I had him on the show to congratulate him on it, was it back in his first term in 2018. Do you remember this? Market Basket. You know, they had this, it's my favorite supermarket. But they had this policy of putting the, when you went to the deli counter, they would put the price tag over the Ziploc. And so to open the bag to get your cheese or your cold cuts, you had to tear open the bag. And it was just a bad way to put the price tag on it. And so he saw something on social media about it, and he called down to Tewksbury, I guess is where the Moolah's headquarters are, and he got it changed. And you know, the shoppers not only of New Hampshire but also of Massachusetts and Maine, and the people who come across the border from Rhode Island to Fall River or wherever they come to go to Market Basket, we all owe him a vote of thanks for doing that. But has he really done all that much? I mean, they still have a problem with same-day voter registration. I mean, he tightened it up a little bit, but there was still a big problem. Big problem in 2020 with, these machines not working. I think he likes being the only Republican in New Hampshire. You know, he's the guy that is always standing atop the heap, And remember, he went to the, what was it, the White House Press Correspondents' Dinner or some group of rump swabs and bum kissers last year, and he said about Trump, Trump is bleeping crazy. Remember that? So, you know, there are a lot of theories about why he's doing this. One theory is that he's trying to keep Trump under a certain level in New Hampshire, that he's working for GOPE, GOP establishment, and that he's a straw for DeSantis, basically, and that he stays in there and drops Trump down, because Trump got a huge percentage of the vote in 2016. You may recall, there were like, at that point, there were like, I think, 13, 14 candidates, and Trump got a third of the vote. So they'd like to drop him down a little bit from that level. And maybe just, and you know, it's not really like Sununu has to give up anything, because the filing deadlines, I checked today, if he wants to run for governor for another term as governor, he's got until June to make his decision. So he gets smashed in the primary by Trump and DeSantis in February, and he's got a few months to lick his wounds, and then he announces that he's going to run again for another term. So it's, and if DeSantis, if not Trump, wins, I think he would be, you know, Trump doesn't like the guy, as far as I can see. Trump just thinks he's a squish like Charlie Parker was. But if DeSantis wins, then he gets a cabinet spot. And his brother is down there, you know. But apparently, also, I never thought of Sununu as Chris Sununu as a Washington guy. His brother was a congressman, and then he was a senator for one term, and I think he lives down there now. He's pretty much moved. He may have a house in New Hampshire, but he pretty much lives in the Beltway. And I never thought of this Chris Sununu as a Beltway guy, but apparently he told a podcast last year which was run by Bush guys. He said, "I've always wanted to go back to D.C. because, you know, his father was John Sununu Sr., the former governor. And he was George H.W. Bush's chief of staff. He's the one who gave us the tragedy of David Souter as the Supreme Court justice. He's a good guy, but it's hard to forgive him for that. That was a disaster. But so he lived down there as a teenager, because he's still only 48 years old. So he was a teenager living in D.C. So apparently he told this podcast he would like to go back to D.C. someday. I thought he had a chance last year. You know, Maggie Hassan, the incumbent Democrat senator who barely edged Kelly Ayotte in 2016, she was running behind him in the polls. But he dithered. He dithered and, you know, oh, he couldn't decide what to do. And you know, again, the filing deadline is so late because they have the latest primary in the nation. It's a week after Massachusetts. It's in the middle of September. So he didn't allow the field to set up. He didn't do any favors for his friend Chuck Morse, the Senate president, because he had to be on the sidelines till Sununu made up his mind. And he waited long enough so that Morse couldn't get up ahead of steam, and he ended up losing to Bolduc, who was a good guy. But, you know, they spent tens of millions of dollars to knock off Bolduc in the general election. 844-500-4242-207. He's way better than Maggie Hassan. I agree he's way better. Why didn't he run against her? That's what I'm thinking.
Because, I think that you did at a dinner call Donald Trump effing crazy.
Yeah, that was funny. It was a roast. It was a funny joke.
508, I'm worried Sununu will not run for governor again. New Hampshire is my fail-safe if Mass gets crazy. It is getting crazy, obviously, and I won't be too far from work or family. The next Dem governor in New Hampshire will put in a sales and income tax. Yeah. I agree. I mean, that's the problem with getting rid of Charlie Parker, you know? I mean, now it's, I mean, as terrible a governor as he was, you know, Healey is going to be worse. There's no question about it. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to really get excited about Chris Sununu, isn't it? 844-500-4242. Will, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, Howie, I appreciate you taking my call. I love your whole crew. Grace is awesome.
You.
I was concerned at first. I'm going, oh, God, Kardashians. But anyway, my point is, I like Chris Sununu. I solely, truly do. And when I heard he might run against Hassan for Senator, I was like, oh, no, please don't leave our state in that kind of hands. But anyway, that's all I got to say. I find Sununu a good governor, and I'm from Texas. I moved up here about 26 years ago, but I'm very cool with Chris Sununu.
Would you vote for him if he's running against Trump and DeSantis in the primary next year?
Oh, hell no.
All right, we come back. We'll have Caroline Levitt with us, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
I want to do my share of the work.
Howie Carr is back.
Joining us now on the line is Caroline Levitt. She's going to be filling in for Grace when Grace is out on her leave in the summer. She'll also be filling in on Monday for Grace for her entire show, noon to 3, and then she'll be down here in Florida the next week for a day. And Caroline Levitt was the Republican candidate for Congress in the first Seacoast district of New Hampshire last year, and they threw a lot of money at her and narrowly defeated her. And I wanted to talk to her tonight about what she thinks about Chris Sununu running for president. Caroline Levitt, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, as always, Howie.
What do you make of this? Is he serious, or is he a straw for DeSantis or somebody like that, or what's his end game here?
Look, here's my take. I think every governor in this entire country looks in the mirror when they wake up each morning and truly sees a president of the United States. That's what politicians do. They think that they can always get to the next level, and I think Governor Sununu is no different. Do I think he has a chance at winning the Republican nomination? Not a shot at all. I absolutely don't. He's already polling behind DeSantis and Trump in his home state of New Hampshire, so if you're the governor of New Hampshire and you can't win the primary in your own state, that's not a winning track to go on and secure the nomination. Now, the Sununu family, right, they're political. He's a politician. I'm sure he's looking at the long game. Part of me feels like maybe he's bored of being governor. He's done a good job on some issues, a not-so-good job on other issues for our state, and perhaps he wants a cabinet position. I think he knows that. He does not have a chance. He wants to do it anyway and see if he can take the train back to Washington.
You know, they always say the best straw is a guy who doesn't know he's a straw. But do you think there's any truth to the fact that they would like him to draw some votes away from Trump up in New Hampshire and, you know, make Trump look less invincible coming out of New Hampshire where he was so strong in 2016? Or is this too much of inside baseball and, you know, to be a workable strategy?
Well, I think if they want to take down Trump, then their best bet, right, is to have a head-to-head matchup between Trump and the next guy who everyone's looking at, which is Governor Ron DeSantis. You know that we're going to have people like Nikki Haley, maybe Governor Larry Hogan, I've seen, and others jump into the race. So if all of these people who are not very popular are in, that's going to split the vote, and then it's absolutely going to hand the nomination over to Trump. Look, I think President Trump will inevitably win the nomination, but it would be a more difficult road for him if it was just he and Ron DeSantis. So it's hard to make the case that Sununu's trying to help DeSantis get over the top if, you know, he's arguably going to be drawing votes away from him. Trump has that strong 20-30% base that is not going anywhere, and they're going to need someone who can surpass that if they don't want it to be Trump. But we know for a fact, right, the Republican establishment, in which Governor Sununu certainly is a part of, they don't want President Trump to run again. And Sununu has said that out loud himself on MSNBC and CNN and Fox News, too.
Yeah. He really doesn't like Trump, though, does he? I mean, I think that's he tries to make it like it's just he's just jesting and, you know, messing around, and it's just all in good fun. But I don't think he likes Trump. Do you?
Yeah. No, absolutely not. I mean, when President Trump was president of the United States and the leader of the Republican Party, he came to New Hampshire, flew in on Air Force One into Manchester Airport, and Governor Sununu was there to greet him, and that was it. He left. So, I mean, if you really truly like your president, or if you like Donald Trump, wouldn't you welcome him to your state and make a couple of stops with him? Sununu never did that. So the writing that has been on the wall between Sununu and Trump for a long time, there's some hard feelings there, if you will, between the two of them. I think they've worked together on a number of things when they had to throughout COVID and such, and I'm sure Sununu, you know, supports many of Trump's policies, as most Republicans do, but he's certainly not a Trump guy. And the base, the grassroots base in New Hampshire, definitely recognizes that as well. And there is that percentage of the Republican, you know, grassroots base in New Hampshire that is fed up with Sununu, and they'd like to see someone new in our state as well. They certainly won't be voting for him in the presidential primary, I'll tell you that.
Is there any way, if you when he loses, is there any way he doesn't run for re-election as for a fifth term as governor?
Well, it's interesting because New Hampshire, as you know, is the latest primary in the country. We're after Massachusetts. It's September 13th. The legislature for some time has talked about moving our primary up, which would be very helpful to candidates like myself that are running or were running against incumbent Democrats, because it's a huge advantage for the incumbent. But the filing deadline is not until June. So Sununu could go for president, get that national name recognition he's looking for, hardly make it through his own presidential primary, probably drop out after South Carolina, come back home and run for re-election. Now, would that piss off people in New Hampshire? It might, right? Like, oh, you know, you want your cake and now you want to eat it too. So, but it's hard to beat him in a Republican primary for governor. So he would be safe if he did it. It's certainly an option, and I'm sure he'll consider that. And what that will do is it's going to put the rest of the field on hold. We have other Republicans who want to be governor. Of course, the Democrats are always trying to put up someone to beat Sununu. So the rest of the field is going to have to wait and see how his very aspirational presidential bid goes and then whether or not he'll run again.
Yeah, you know, I remember Election Eve 2016 in Manchester, New Hampshire. Trump and Pence both came into the state, and they had a huge rally. The place was packed. And you know who wasn't there running for his first term as governor? Chris Sununu. He sent his old man, John Sununu, but he couldn't make it himself, nor could Kelly Ayotte.
Exactly.
And she lost.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Howie. And the grassroots base in New Hampshire definitely understands that, recognizes that, and knows that. But hey, I mean, at the end of the day, ironically, too, he is the most popular politician in our state. His approvals are in the high 60s, and a lot of that is because of what he's done. You know, we are a good state. We're much better than Massachusetts, that's for sure, for a lot of reasons. No income tax, no sales tax. So I give him credit for what he's done. But is he a Trump guy or part of the America First movement? Definitely not. And voters certainly recognize that.
All right, Caroline. We look forward to having you on with Grace. And you'll be stopping in on my show every once in a while, too. And I really appreciate it. It's good to have you on the team, Caroline Levitt.
Yeah, I'm excited to be on the team. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back with the poll question and more. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Enjoy spring on the Cape with April rates at $179.99 a night. Or schedule now to have your summer trip set with breakfast included Memorial Day through September 20th. Book online now at NausetBeachInn.com. That's NausetBeachInn.com. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarrShow.com, is who's the most loathsome member of Congress? Adam Schiff, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jamie Raskin, George Santos, or Ilhan Omar?
I'm voting for Raskin in his accusation that the Republicans are engaged in obsessive victimology.
6% say Jamie Raskin, 28% say Ilhan Omar, and 62% say Adam Schiff.
All right. 844-500-4242. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve. You there? Guess not. 844-500-4242. Wanted to read you something from, this is from the Washington Post on a week or so ago. And they're talking about objectivity, and obviously we don't have any objectivity in the press. And it's always been kind of a myth, you know, that you could write a story down the middle. But you at least, in the old days, most media outlets tried to be somewhat objective. But this is from the Washington Post, Leonard Downey. Increasingly, reporters, editors, and media critics argue that the concept of journalistic objectivity is a distortion of reality. They point out that the standard was dictated over decades by male editors in predominantly white newsrooms and reinforced their own view of the world. They believe that pursuing objectivity can lead to a false balance or misleading both-sidisms. That's now a word, both-sidesism. In covering stories about race, the treatment of women, LGBTQ plus rights, income inequality, climate change, and many other subjects. And in today's diversifying newsrooms, they feel it negates many of their own identities, life experiences, and cultural contexts, keeping them from pursuing truth in their work. So you're wondering why you don't buy a newspaper anymore in the morning? This is a prime reason. Objectivity prevents them from it negates their own identities, life experiences, and cultural context, keeping them from pursuing truth in their work. Truth in their work. 844-500-4242. Democrats in the news, Pennsylvania, trying to let this destroy your faith in the integrity of the Democrat Party. A Democrat Pennsylvania State Senator, Steve Santasiero, sponsored a queer prom event which featured lube, condoms, and a drag queen show for minors, libs of TikTok reported. When Fox News Digital reached out for comment about the drag queen performance, the Democrat statesman boasted of his support for the event, which occurred at a Planned Parenthood-sponsored youth program called the Rainbow Room, which is located in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. That's suburban Philadelphia, I do believe.
Isn't Planned Parenthood-sponsored youth program an oxymoron?
You know what it is, come to think of it. Planned Parenthood sponsors having no youths. Ending the youth's life before the youth even gets out of the womb. But here's what Senator Santasiero told Fox. I am proud to support the Rainbow Room's annual queer prom for LGBTQ youth. I will continue to do so. The queer prom is open to minors starting at age 14 and offers goodie bags of condoms, lubes, dental dams, latex dams.
Who was voted prom queen and prom queen?
One of the hosts of the committee shared details of the goodie bag that was distributed to minors at the queer prom. We've got tarot cards and candy, the host said. Everyone's going to get a crystal star-shaped pendant, a progress pride flag, a Planned Parenthood bracelet. Everyone will take one home when prom ends. Isn't that swell? 844-500-4242. Democrats in the news. Barbara, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi. Howie, you're absolutely right what you've been saying about Sununu. He is a rhino, and I have been a Republican my entire life, which is a long time. And in this week's Weird Times, there is a letter from a lady who who is telling Sununu he needs to do his job, and she's absolutely correct.
Well, I mean, what would you say his job is at this point, Barbara?
Well, he needs to do something about the horrendous apartments that are not there for people that really need them.
Yeah, I don't know what he could do about that so much. I mean, I guess he could. Do you think the average Republican, though, in New Hampshire wants to subsidize building new public housing, Barbara? Seriously.
Well, no, but there's something that they can do in all the years that he's been in there. He hasn't done anything. He grandstands a lot. People that put him in office, he never answers his emails or correspondence from those people. And you know, it's just not right. He's just building himself up all the time, and he's doing it again if he wants to run for president, which I think he is never going to get there.
Do you know anybody, you're a Republican in the Lakes region, I guess. Do you know anybody, any Republicans in your neck of the woods that would vote for him for president?
I do not. I do not.
Yeah, I don't. I can't imagine it. I mean, you know, I know he must have his own personal reasons, if nothing more than ego, for wanting to run. But I mean, what's the point? You know, I wrote my column today. I didn't call him a rhino. I said he's an MSNBC CNN Republican. Those are the only shows he goes on, he loves Face the Nation. I don't know who the hell watches Face the Nation. It was always the lowest rated of those chat shows on the networks. And that was in the days when people actually watch those shows. Now they just watch the highlights later on, maybe Monday morning. And he loves to go on that show. He was on ABC last Sunday. I mean, why isn't he ever on Fox? He's very seldom on Fox. And, you know, I know that shouldn't be the total litmus test, but he's more comfortable on CNN and MSNBC. But on the other hand, you know, here's the thing. I understand what the texters are saying about getting rid of him. I mean, as weak as he is, he's better than any Democrat is going to be. I mean, you know, we got rid of Charlie Parker in Massachusetts, and now we have Mara Healey. And, you know, I know there's not a big difference between Charlie Baker and Mara Healey, but still, there is some difference. And, you know, I don't think New Hampshire wants to have a Democrat governor, because it's not like the old days when you could get a Democrat governor in there and they would be, you know, fairly decent, or at least not insane. You know, I think you can make an argument in Massachusetts that Ed King was the most conservative governor of the last 50 years in Massachusetts, and he was a Democrat. They always said he was Ronald Reagan's favorite governor. And he was a Democrat. He only served one term and he got knocked off. But you'd never, and Ed King couldn't even get 15% at the party convention now to get on the statewide ballot. So, and I think I think New Hampshire's going the same way. You know, one thing that I think people are angry about in New Hampshire is they had a congressional redistricting up there, and they added a lot of Republican areas to Caroline Leavitt's district, and it was going to be a very winnable seat. The Republican might even have been the favorite, but Sununu vetoed it because I don't think he wants any Republican competition. I think he likes being the king of the hill and the only guy on the hill. You know, if you've got somebody coming up behind you, you're not as comfortable politically, and that's the situation he's in. 844-500-4242. I was amused by this column in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. A couple days ago, Charlie Baker can save women's sports because he's going to become the new president of the NCAA. And this poor woman who was her name is Gaines. She's one of the people who lost in the Ivy League swim competitions to the guy who now claims to be a woman. I am a college athlete. And I had to compete against a biological male from the University of Pennsylvania who swam the previous 3 years on the men's team. Along with competing against a male, my teammates and I had to share a locker room where we were exposed to male genitalia. We did not consent to this arrangement. And I feel bad for her, and she shouldn't have had to go through this. None of her teammates should have had to go through this. But she's looking for help from Charlie Baker. She obviously does not know Charlie Baker the way you and I know Charlie Baker.
Sorry.
As we always say, if they ever name a street after him, it'll have to be one way. As the father of a daughter who played sports in high school, he must know that her chances of athletic success would have been limited had her high school allowed males to take roster spots on women's varsity teams. If nothing else, I hope that Mr. Baker can see how allowing a male to undress in the women's locker room might make young women, such as his daughter, uncomfortable.
In a room. In a room.
I have written to Mr. Baker asking him to meet with athletes and listen to stories similar to mine. I hope he will review the NCAA policies that have allowed young girls and women to be discriminated against. I hope Mr. Baker will agree to meet face-to-face to discuss solutions to what so many in this country and those within the NCAA know to be blatantly wrong and unfair to women. Mr. Baker has a reputation for fairness and for considering all viewpoints. Yeah. Ask him about COVID and shutting down everything in Massachusetts.
You're a loser.
I am optimistic he will keep sports in areas such as changing rooms separated on the basis of sex. When the phone don't ring, Ms. Gaines, you'll know it's Charlie Parker, the former governor of Massachusetts and the new, about to become president of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Here you go. More negative waves. Have a little faith, baby. Have a little faith.
The Howie Carr Show returns after this. He's a history buff's history buff.
You don't know nothing about Lady Liberty standing there in a harp screaming out the wall of nations in a world. Send me your poor, your deadbeats, your filthy.
Howie Carr is back.
(844) 500-4242. 860 says, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Hence, Chris thinks he's qualified to be the leader of the free world. Well put. Well put. Paul, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Howie. I live up in New Hampshire. And I got to say, Governor Sununu has passed a lot of pro-gun and pro-Second Amendment laws in the state. He's vetoed all of the bill. Every session, the Democrats come up with more gun control bills, and any that passed, he vetoes. And the last one was the most important one was constitutional carry.
Yeah,
we don't even need a license to carry concealed anymore up in New Hampshire. So he's earned my vote just on that alone.
Would you vote for him in a presidential primary, though, against Trump and DeSantis?
That's a good question I haven't made a decision on yet.
I mean, if he can't get votes from people like you and the first guy, Will, from Texas, who's moved up there, I mean, you guys are his core supporters, and you can't tell me you're going to vote for him. It's quite a hurdle for him to overcome, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I'd rather just see him remain as governor. I'd hate to lose him.
Yeah. I know, because you don't know what comes after it. Look what's happened to us in Massachusetts. I mean, as bad as Charlie Baker was, and he was no friend of anybody who worked for a living, basically, ultimately.
Yeah, right. I'm originally from Massachusetts, too, so...
So you know.
But I've been,
you know what I'm...
Yeah, I've been...
Yeah.
Well, I've been up here for 40 years, though, so...
Yeah. So you go back to the days almost of Meldrum Thompson. There was a good governor, Meldrum Thompson. He was a hard. He couldn't get elected though, and I don't know if he could get elected to the state senate in New Hampshire anymore. Meldrum Thompson. Thanks for the call, Paul. 844-500-4242. And the Manchester Union leader, what little remains of it, wouldn't be helping him out either. Jim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Howie. When Biden was talking about the fentanyl and drugs coming across the border, and someone yelled out, "It's your fault." No,
yes.
Truer words were ever spoken. That guy, that Biden, is unbelievable. All these people that are got kids dead, the blood is on his hands. People have to wake up. This guy is unbelievably a total disaster, and people are dying because of him.
I agree. I was saying that before the speech, I didn't think he would even mention fentanyl. Because it's such a loser issue for him. There's no way that he can't take responsibility. There's a guy named Michael Moritz. He's one of the investors in Sequoia Capital. That's one of the companies that got burned by SBF for like $200 million, but they still got billions of dollars. His name is Michael Moritz, and they're based in Menlo Park, which is just south of the city, so he knows San Francisco pretty well. And he said that the city of San Francisco was turned into zombie zones. It's a strange city, he said, that bans, and this was in the Financial Times, that bans plastic straws but permits plastic needles. Yet that's San Francisco. Between 2020 and 2022, 1,985 people have died here from drug overdoses compared to 1,143 from COVID-19. And he said a large part of the problem is fentanyl. Fentanyl, the synthetic drug that is up to 50 times more powerful than and a fraction of the cost of heroin, has turned many blocks of the city into zombie zones. And it comes across the southern border, and Biden has left the southern border wide open. The illegal aliens and fentanyl are destroying the country, and he doesn't care. I'm Howie Carr.
I'm your nightmare.